know, the world that we live in at the moment and the degradation that goes on round about and how inferior that it is, you realize how much you love the Lord, because He is our only outlet from this terrible situation that the world's got into, because of Satan. The Lord is the only outlet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing 424. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours. Sing it again too, kind of like that. But you know, it's good to know that the Lord just is in your heart there, and you want to lift Him up and praise Him. And He will see us through no matter. We cannot do it, but He can. Let's sing 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, number 703. You know, it doesn't matter how things go, good, bad, or otherwise. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you can trust Jesus. No matter what. You may not understand everything that comes your way, but you know that Jesus is involved. And every single one of us have that coverage. Let's sing, there's a country far beyond the starry sky. Couldn't remember the other words. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city there that never comes an eye. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. It's a city where the Lamb is alive. It's a city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I'm a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is alive. Praise you, Lord. Wake up in the morning and think, oh boy, what a lovely day it is out there. But, oh, I've got to see this and I've got to go there and I have to do that.
you know, it just dulls. The lovely day down here dulls against what's going to be. But you know what? You're included in it.
Thank you, Lord.
You're just included in it.
Believe it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, I tell you. Well, look, let's just bow our heads and just invite our Lord to this service. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, you are our everything. You are the light. You're the one that called us along that walk that we were going and our head was down and we were sad. Or we didn't know what decision to make. Did I need to go to church? This church, that church, another church? And finding all the obstructions coming into your life. And then one day, Lord, you touched our heart. There was something special that it was being in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. That still small voice. We may not have known the answer what we needed to do, but there was something positive that we never had before. And that was you, Lord Jesus, that was you. You caused us to just check our ways and come and have contact with you. Lord, we're so very grateful that you loved us so much that you even came and you died for us. You did that, Lord, to take all our sin, not just some of them. All our sin is taken and gone. And put into the sea of forgetfulness. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we invite you to be here. We want you to bless the people in this auditorium, each one of us, and also those on the internet that are watching at this time. So much a part of us. We all are one family, and you are our Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter where we are, who we are, so long as we love you and walk in the way that you want us to walk. We're very grateful, Lord, for what you've done for us to this day and time and brought us here. Help us to worship you from our heart, not our head, not a mechanical, hello, Lord. It's my Lord, I'm here, thank you. And we bow our heads before you and say thank you for being here. Undertake for those that may still be coming, those that weren't able to be here today, and bless all the people that listen in on the internet. And those on the CD, when they receive it in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen. Well, we have a couple of singers here who are going to sing for us, but we'll just sing one more song and they can make their way down here as we sing. That's Sister Merle and Sister Shirley. Let's sing I Would Love to Tell You, number 280. Think about the words as we sing it. And that's what we're meant to do, is to tell other people how that you love Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you. is from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But not just at the time when He called you, but He carries on until He comes. And then He doesn't stop looking after you. Praise the name of the Lord.
Sin, He forgives it enough.
sweet anointing. We want that all the time, do we not? Just one time of that is nice, but we want it all the time. We just need God's helping hand all the time. We've just got some prayers here. Some we had on the Tuesday night prayer meeting. But we have one coming for Sister Georgia, praying for a Boaz husband. I don't know where she is from, but may the Lord bless her and answer her prayer. And then we have this one from Sister Sarah Stahl. I think it's Stahl, S-T-A-H-L, I think so you say it. We thank the Lord for already helping her with her blood pressure. The doctors have discovered a tumour on her brain. Today, Sister Sarah will have another MRI, and then they plan on having two surgeries to perform. One to drain the fluid in the front, and then another one to remove the tumour in the back. We thank the Lord that they discovered it and are dealing with it so quickly. May the Lord extend a healing touch to our dear sister and guide the surgeon's hands. Let's bind together and remember her during this time, that the Lord will provide strength, faith, perfect surgery, and a quick recovery. Just remembering John, Brother John McCafferty's co-worker. Could we please pray for a co-worker of mine? His son was involved in a hunting accident yesterday, which would be a day or two ago now, and as a result may lose his eyesight unless the Lord intervenes. Thank you, John McCafferty. One here from Anna of New Zealand, and was praying for restoration of her marriage. And wants the Lord to undertake. The Lord knows who that is and will undertake. We have a request from myself to pray for both Howard and myself there in Malaysia. When they come up, we're leaving on the 16th of this month. And it's for a blessing of the meetings. There'll be about 9 of them. And may the Lord undertake for the people that come and blessed. We remember Israel at this time, and we thank the Lord for many answered repairs. Seems to be fading. I'll put my head up. Must be down. However, let us just bow our heads and pray for these people. Or do we have any here? Sorry, locally, that have a particular request. Oh. Our dear Sister June Mounter from Christchurch has had a fall, and the Lord will undertake. Okay, well, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you because you are the healer. You are the one that watches over us and keeps us. You allow certain trials to come in our stead, Lord, and just to see what we're going to do about it and where we put our faith. And not only to put our faith, but action the faith that you give us. We're so very grateful, Lord, for your love, mercy and grace, and that you care for us all of the time, past, present and future. We know, Lord, that when we get to glory, it'll be just absolutely amazing. So good that we can't even imagine. The scripture says what it would be like. But we're looking forward to it. I most certainly am. And I know a lot of my brethren do. No matter where we are, where we live, Lord can provide, and we certainly ask of that. Now, all of the names that I've mentioned on the prayer list, you heard them, Lord. You know them even before we read the list out. And you know the details. So we say thank you, Lord, for undertaking for those that need healing, those that need uplifting, those that need financial status, those that are looking for husbands
And Lord, for the meetings that we're going to be at in Malaysia, we just pray for all of these things. And any unspoken prayer request that any of us have holding it inside, you can read that as well, Lord. Just bless your holy name. Most of all, Lord, we just praise you. The Bible says to can praise you continually. And the angels do it.
Hallelujah.
And we should do it too.
Yes, amen.
So, Lord, we just thank you that we can praise you at any time, day or night, wherever you are, whatever condition, whatever situation, you will see us through.
Amen.
Just be with the Hugheses. I understand they'll be in Rotorua this morning to do with a mix of meetings. So just undertake for them there, Lord, and may Bill and Jan and family be a testimony for those that don't know. May we all be a testimony. Don't matter where we are, Lord, we come across people daily that need to know. Whether they want to or not, it's not up to us, but it's up to us to let them know if we can. To give us the words to say, the opportunity to speak. And you do the work, Lord, as we know that you will. We ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, be a normal morning. We got a today. We've got lunch as usual, and we have a 1 p.m. service today, and then at 7 p.m. on Tuesday we have a prayer meeting, for which you're all invited and encouraged to attend. Okay, well, let's sing another song, and let's sing 557, Wondrous Love of God to Me. Shall we stand as we sing?
Wondrous love of God to me, love that led to Calvary, love that paid sin's penalty, God's wondrous love, like a mighty ocean's high, from the cross where Jesus died. Lord, your sin is mine and mine. God, like a mighty ocean high, from the cross where Jesus died, wash your sin as far and wide. God's wonderful.
Let's sing it again. Can we sing that again, but let's sing it quiet, really quiet, as if it was just from your heart only to our Lord. We want to have the presence of the Lord here, and if we think that
and desire it, He'll come. And in your music as well. So sing it real quiet. Wondrous love of God to me. Love that led to Calvary. It cost Him His everything, but He did it for you and I. Let's sing it. Wondrous love of God to me. Love that led to Calvary. Love that pays its penalty. God's wondrous love. Thank you, Lord, for doing it for me.
Wondrous love of God to me, love that pays its penalty. You know, one day we're going to get a shock. The shock is to find out how much God really loves you. It's going to leave you just speechless. He really does love you. He proved it. He went to Calvary for you. He died for you. He died for me. I really thank Him for His love. Praise the Lord. God bless you out there on the video, around the world, wherever you are. We appreciate you listening in. And we've turned these microphones around so they can hear the congregation singing. They want to hear you singing. So raise your voices. Praise the Lord. They want to join in with you. That's why we've turned them around. So we just thank the Lord. Well, we had a nice experience this morning. We had 7 members join us at our house. I look like that. It was wonderful. I'm going to tell you something great. There's a mother duck and 6 little ducklings about that big. And they were so beautiful. And you know what? Wherever Mama went, they went. She went into the garden, they went into the garden. She came out, they came out. Then a big cat came. I ran out there, and that cat ran. But, you know, I just know that Mother Duck would have put up a fight. She's just that way, big duck. And I just really appreciate the purity, sincerity of those little ducklings. Be quiet. There's a quiet. Oh, hold on. How's that? Is that any better? Okay. So we just thank the Lord for His creation. All I can see is God walking in. Now, this is an amazing thing. Matthew Road, where I live, is quite long. But the little ducks walk all the way past those houses. They turn into our driveway, go down our driveway, and they're not even afraid of us. They're sweet. You know what? They did it last year too. There's something about our house they like. And we like them too. Maybe they feel the presence of the Lord there. But I just thank God for the privilege of them visiting us. It was really wonderful. I rang Brother Bob Main last night and had a bit of fellowship with him. Quite nice, really. And he sends his love to you all here. Brother Bob Main, way up north. And he sounds really well, even though he's 90. And he greets you all in the name of the Lord. So we just thank God for that. You need to say goodbye for the organ today. Well, tomorrow it's going. At lunchtime tomorrow. So if you've got any sentimental values, you can just pat it or something. But the new one, I think, comes, we're not sure 100%, but I've got a testimony about that. I think it's coming on Thursday, all the way from Germany. And I was a little concerned about getting it on time before I leave, because I want to set it up and get it right for June. And so I got a call from Auckland, from the customs in Auckland, and they said, I rang Wellington. The lady was there. She's all right, but she's a bit short. And she said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want our number for the gospel tape." And she said, "Gospel? How do you spell that?" And then ministry. She said, "I can't find anything under that name. You'll have to get a new import entry number." I said, "How do I do that?" Just go to the page, get 5 pages download, you've got to fill them all out. And I said, "How long does that take?" 4 days. I thought, oh no. So I came back here and I was at home when I rang. And just one moment, I'll just... oh boy, these things are not easy to get out. Can you get that out, Paul? Thanks. Pretty hard. Oh, he just pulls it out like that. Very good, brother. Thank you. Can you all hear me now? 1, 2, 3. We should be online. Don't know why. Maybe I left it on. I don't know. I didn't check. Oh, Paul. Oh, no, sorry. You've got to try. Now, this is the truth. I lie not. I wouldn't lie anyway, especially on the pulpit. Wouldn't lie at all. So I was in the hall, and I was thinking about this. Oh, Lord. I just got to fill in all the details, quite a few details, and, you know, what do you have for breakfast? All that stuff. And I said, "Lord," I said, "would you please help me with this?" He said, "Go and check." Well, I didn't say it, but it spoke to my heart and my mind. He said, "Go and check old records." So I went into the filing cabinet, went into the customs, got old records. We haven't imported for years. We used to get spoken word books and stuff. And when I got there, I opened it, flick, 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 and I found a form which somebody from the customs had filled in with biro and said, "This is what you do. This is Tucson Tabernacle. This is their number. And this is your number." And had an arrow pointing. "This number never changes." So I rang back customs of Wellington, got another lady. Thank you, Brother Paul. And
And I got her on. I said, do you know this number? And I quoted the number. She said, yes. I said, is that for the Gospel Tape Ministry? She said, yes, all is good. I said, thank you. I don't know why the other lady couldn't find it. So I rang up Auckland Customs at the airport. They said, don't worry, Hal, we'll get this thing going to you as fast as we can. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I think it's going to take 5 days to get the thing out there. But no, the Lord undertakes. Ask and you shall receive. So God does these things for me all the time, and I really thank him for it. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. And we appreciate your prayers for Brother Lee and I, not just for Malaysia and Singapore, but that also, because we have a meeting in Singapore, you know that, 2 meetings, that we, God will prepare our hearts. The preparation of our hearts is so important because we're going into a difficult area. We're going into a war zone. When I say that, we're in a battlefield where the enemy works, and some really good people over there, we know. But I just want the Holy Spirit to just do things for us because we can't do anything. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's words from Judges, chapter 13, verse 24, which says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zora and Eshtol. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll enlighten us of the things that you'd want us to know, Lord. Because I believe it's of you. And I have reason to say that, Lord, you know. Even yesterday, Lord, amazing thing happened. And I just pray, Lord, that we will not pass over it. We'll not miss what the Spirit of God's trying to say to us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says that Samson judged Israel for 20 years. He was a judge of the Lord. And we know his ministry was strength. Great strength. He could picked up the gates of Gaza and walked up the hill with them. These are huge gates. It's probably as high as the ceiling. Supernatural power. He killed 1,000 armed Philistines, the lot, with the jawbone of a mule. This was his ministry. And God raised him up to judge the Philistines. So Samson was a chosen vessel of God to bring judgment on the Philistines. And for you that are writing notes, there was a person in his life that really troubled him. And it was a woman, and her name was Delilah. And I want to entitle this message, The Delilahs in Our Life. The Delilahs in Our Life. I pray that God will show you, as he showed me, how these things happen. Now, Samson was truly anointed of God in a mighty way. We know that. Samson had made serious mistakes, which Christians can do. And there is much we can learn from the life of Samson. Now, we can start off well with our walk with God. And, you know, this is something that's very real to me. Samson was called of God from his birth. He was also anointed of God, very much so. Very anointed man. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. People fled for their life because he was very strong. It wasn't Samson's strength. It was the strength of the Lord. And everyone could see the vindicated power of God on his life. There's no doubts, even the Philistines knew. They can't handle this guy. He's too much for us. Send in 1,000 men, he cleaned them up. Not with a spear, not with a sword, with the jawbone of a mule. Now, brother and sister, that jawbone was anointed too. Because that should have blown to pieces, hitting metal helmets and things. But it didn't. God held it together. So we see this is a pretty amazing thing that took place. Everything God does is amazing. Who believes that? It's really amazing when God starts to move and he starts to do things in your life. I want to tell you, it's amazing when God comes down to you and starts doing things for you. And maybe he's doing them now and you're not sure, but you'll find out that he is. So we see he started off good. And this is a great warning and admonition to us all. Good starts do not always indicate good endings. A lot of people start off good. You've seen a lot of people start off good. We've seen them in this church over the years, in the conventions. They've started off really well. And for whatever reason, things didn't end up well. I want to read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, you did run well. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So there came a hindrance. Starting off well in your life with walk with God, and then something came into your life that disturbed you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. It's not the starting signal that we're interested in, it's the finishing line. And brother and sister, you've got to seek your heart, I've got to seek my heart, that we cross over this line. And I tell you what, Brother Lee, it's not far away. Amen. Who believes the coming of the Lord is really near? He's got to come in an hour when you think not. So we just praise the Lord for this. So when it comes to our salvation and our walk with God, it's very important how careful we need to be. You know, the Apostle Paul felt this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. But he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You bring your body into subjection. You rule, not your body. Your body's got a whole fantastic ideas. I want to do this, I want to do that. I like this, I like that. Listen, brother and sister, you have to rule your body. Who believes that? Say amen. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, Paul says, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul the Apostle had this concern in his life about after he had preached to others that he'd be a castaway. Now, Samson's ministry was very successful, truly. If you just read Judges, you'll see his ministry and how God mightily used him. He was a bit of a character too. But God was with him. He slayed lions. He slayed armies. One man band. No, it's two man band. God and Samson. Actually, it's the God part that really did it. And Samson won every victory, no matter how many people were against him. They tried to lock him in the city, shut the gates. He just picked up the gates and walked out up the hill. Said, bye. That shocked them. These gates were probably, I don't know, Brother Tim, probably a couple of tons, I suppose. They're big steel gates of the city gates. It must have been a frightening thing for them to say, why are those gates walking up the hill? They said, Samson's carrying them up there. So the ministry was very blessed. And when everything is going well, it's very easy to become less vigilant and watchful. There's not a moment in your life that you can sit back, relax and say, God's with me. He is. And not take care what you're doing and where you're going and getting involved in. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read, be sober. I like that word. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's got a lot of time to come down to you and start watching you, watching your family. He's looking around to see whom he can devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Stand against the devil. Don't let him walk over you, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, brother and sister, across the world, people are struggling. The believers have to press in. We're not on a picnic. We're actually in a war zone. We're fighting this battle every day. Who believes this? You get over one trial, next one comes along. You get over one, another trial, another one comes. It's continually before us. It's very true. We can get off guard. We can actually not watch. Oh, it's something that God's speaking to me about. Got to continually check your attitude. Watch that the devil's not trying to use somebody or something to bring you down. I want to read you a story about the prophet and the man of God. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 13. And this extremely sad story is a great lesson to us all. I just feel so sad about this story, but it happened. And it's been written for our example and admonition. It says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now this is a god, a foreign god. And the man of God, he went down and cried against the altar, in verse 2, in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places, that's the gods, priests, that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall pour out. So this, what is about to happen, is supernatural. And it came to pass when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, became paralyzed, so that he could not pull it down again to him. And the altar was rent. The altar was rent, was broken. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. That was God's grace. So we see, brother and sister, these things are very, very real. Now this man of God, he also had a great ministry like Samson. Man, he goes in there, prophesies against the altar, tells them what's going to happen. The king says, get him. And God judges the king. Then God heals the king because he prayed for him. Signs and wonders followed his ministry. When the king had his arm restored, he wanted to bless the man of God. He said, listen, you've been a great blessing to us. And he offered the man of God to come back to his palace to be eat and refreshed. You can read all this in the Bible. I'm not just missing out so much, but to save time, but he said, you can come back and we'll feed you and we'll refresh you. But the man of God refused the king's offer because God had instructed him to come straight home and not to eat and drink. Brother, sister, do what God says for you to do. Don't change it. Just do it. You've got to do it. You see what happens when you don't. And so, the man of God had clear instructions. So he was to go home a different way than he had come, God said. Don't come the same way, go another way. Now everything's going good. He's turned down the king's offer not to eat and drink, not to stop, to keep going. This is all about you and I. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't get distracted. And on the way home, he was met by an old prophet. And the old prophet had heard of the success of his ministry with Jeroboam. Once again, he was invited home to refresh himself with the prophet, and he refused again. However, the old prophet said, the angel told me to bring you home. Now, I just want to show you the absolute subtlety of a spiritual walk. How you've got to be so careful and stay with what God says. Just do what he says. Don't work it out. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Now listen, brother and sister, you know, in my view, he shouldn't have been sitting under a oak. He shouldn't have been sitting under that oak, the man of God, but there he was. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it has been said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet of the Lord also, as thou art. And the angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee and thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. Now, this prophet was a true prophet of God. What I'm trying to say, brother and sister, the ministry was right, but the man was wrong. He lied to the man of God. Oh, I'm a prophet, and the angel came and said, bring him home, bring him home. But you know what, brother and sister? God doesn't change his word. If he's given you something to do, do exactly as he said. When you know what to do, he's not going to come along with somebody else and try and change you. God does not change his mind. I am the Lord, I change not, his word says. And the story becomes very sad. Because while the man of God was sitting at the table of the prophet of God, he did go against what God had told him, and he went back because he thought the man was, said an angel told him to bring him back. And he got caught up in his story. Just do what God's told you to do. And while he was there, the old prophet said, we can read this in 1 Kings 13, 20. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. Now listen, this is a real prophecy now. Oh, how we've got to be so careful. You know, we've got to check everything by the word of God. And he cried unto the man of God that came forth from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say, the eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of his fathers, of thy fathers. In other words, you're not going back home again. You will not be buried in your house. And the story goes on to say, he saddled him a mule and he sent him on his way, the man of God. And as the man of God was on his way home, a lion came out of the bush and killed him. Now watch this. I haven't got time to read all these things, so take time. It came out and killed the man of God because he had disobeyed the word of the Lord. Man used of God signs and wonders straighten the man's hand. You see, God is no respecter of persons. Do as he says. Don't question it. If God says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you be baptized. I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. You have to work it out. Just do it. And when he got there, the prophet heard about it. He went back very remorse. The prophet was very upset. He went there and he found the carcass of the man of God dead on the road. Standing next to him was the lion. Standing next to him was the mule, untouched. The body was not damaged. He just killed him. He didn't eat him. He didn't eat the mule. And so people were going past all day and seeing this unusual scene. The lion didn't run. The lion stood there. There was the carcass of the man and the mule standing there. So it was reported back to the man of God. He went back and he picked him up, put him on his donkey, brought him home and buried him in his tomb. Very broken man. Because he loved the brother. And he had prophesied by the Spirit of the Lord what was going to happen. But he had disobeyed the Lord, you see. It was a terrible thing for him to have to go through. Now, if the man of God, as I said before, wasn't found sitting under the oak, relaxing a little. This is our problem, spiritually speaking. When we begin to relax and take it easy, you are a target for the devil. When you sit back and you just don't pray like you used to anymore, you don't get serious about the things of God, you don't listen to his word, you're so consumed. I'll talk about that later. There he found him. And that was his Delilah. The prophet. This is Delilah. He allowed that man to come and lie to him. It's not for... If he had not done that, the old prophet would have not found him. But he stopped. Just do exactly what God says to do. Don't eat or drink. Go straight home. Go back a different way. So don't let us go stop and go to slumbering in our walk with God. Another example we all know well, the wise and foolish virgins. They're all excited, all dressed to meet the bridegroom, as happens now. They went out to meet him. And they also made a mistake. They all slumbered and slept. You know, when you start slumbering and sleeping, spiritually speaking, there's trouble at the door. They just thought there would be no problem. Just a little slumber. Won't do anyone any harm. We'll just slumber a little. But while they were slumbering, they ran out of oil. They ran out of the Holy Ghost. They didn't get through the Spirit anymore. They lost their ability to really wait in the presence of God until God came to them. And that is our danger right here. Everything's going fine. We become slack and relaxed. Indeed, that becomes our Delilah. We're talking about the Delilahs in our life. Now, Samson's Delilah... Don't ever call your daughter Delilah, whatever you do. Samson's Delilah was his biggest curse. She appeared so friendly. Just because something's friendly doesn't mean it's good. And sympathetic to Samson. And Samson got used to her pleadings. She kept on saying to him, "Samson, if you love me." Oh, I tell you, what a devil that is. "If you love me, please tell me the secret of your power." But she was geared up by the Philistines. She was their agent. And she claimed that she loved Samson, but she definitely did not. Her influence weakened Samson's resistance. You see, brother, sister, when the enemy starts working on you, he breaks down your resistance. He breaks it down, and after a while, he keeps plugging you, and it doesn't seem so bad. In our life, we can allow questionable things to slip by, whereas till eventually the things we once would never consider doing, we don't seem to feel that they're so bad after all. Because you've been weakened by this influence. And our resistance is softened down by the influence of others. This all happens as we spiritually slumber and sleep. You cannot afford to slumber and sleep. You know what Charles Spurgeon said to do? Don't be amongst believers that are lukewarm. Get amongst people that are hungry for God and be in their atmosphere where they love to talk about the Lord and they love to worship God and they have a hunger for God. You get amongst the wrong crowd, you go with them. That's what Samson did. He's weakened down. Now these things do not happen overnight. Delilah's worked on us like Samson. They work on you like they did on Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve was not just pulled over like that. I believe the devil worked on her every day. "Hi, Eve. Good to see you today. Nice day. Have you ever thought about what I told you the other day?" And he keeps working on you. He keeps plugging you, trying to get you to make a decision. Samson eventually succumbed to Delilah's gentle touch. Oh, it's so pleasing. Samson gave in to her request. "Tell me, what is the secret of thy power?" You know, the devil wants to get you the secret of your power with God. Because he cannot defeat you while God's with you. And Samson gave in. Samson told her, "The locks of my hair are a sign." They are little curly locks going down to shoulder. "They are a sign. They represent his Nazarite vow and a dedication to God." He gave it all away as he fell asleep on Delilah's lap. Story gets worse. You see, brother and sister, when you start to go to sleep on Delilah's lap. Now, Delilah's can be a lot of things. We'll get to that. The Delilah's can be a lot of things, and we go to sleep because it's pleasing to you. It's pleasant. It's nice and it's friendly, and all the associations of the Delilah's, they have an effect on you, and you get all dozy, and you know you go to sleep on a lap. The most enjoyable comfort zone could be the most vulnerable place of attack. The comfort zones. Why Samson slumbered and slept. She got a man to come in and cut off his locks. And he was robbed of his power. Robbed. The sad part was when Samson woke and he arose to defend himself against the Philistines, he knew not God had departed from him. Brother and sister, when you get into that zone with the Delilahs, you don't even know that God's left you because you've displeased him. You've gone against his instructions. You're on your own. And he knew not, it says he knew not that God had departed. Brother and sister, I want to know when God departs, and I want to know when he comes to me. I want to be in tune with what's going on in my life. I don't want to go around in a dream. Oh, I go to the church in Nelson Road. That's no good. You've got to know that God is with you and that he's helping you and blessing you daily. You see, Samson defeated 1,000 armed Philistines, but a single Delilah overcame him. God may have used you in a wonderful way at times. But brother and sister, that Delilah is another thing. The Delilahs in our life are so deceitful. What a terrible place our Delilahs can get us into. But alas, for Samson, it was too late. Samson became the slave of Delilah's masters. Delilah got Samson to sleep. Oh, just put him to sleep. That's all the devil has to do is get you sleeping. And when he got sleeping, the soldiers came with red hot irons, rods, and poked his eyes out. That's terrible, isn't it? Who thinks that's terrible? Brothers and sisters, this is reality. This is the things that are happening in people's lives now in Gisborne. They don't, and in America, wherever you're looking, it's happening all the time. His eyes were bored out with a red hot iron, and he's blind. It just went from bad to worse. Delilah seemed so peaceful and relaxing, but eventually he lost his eyesight. Have we been lulled off to sleep by our Delilahs? Your Delilah could be anything you like doing so bad. Could be your Delilah. They are very comfortable and pleasing things. It's not horrible things, they're good things. But they have been sent of Satan to lure you. Just the cares, the pleasures, and the riches of life can choke the word of God in you. And you bring no fruit to perfection. Jesus said so. Found in Luke chapter 8 verse 14. Remember, these things are not apparent at first. They don't look evil and all that, but I tell you what, it's subtle. I could name a whole lot of Delilahs to you, but brother and sister, you should know what I'm speaking of. If left unchecked, they'll take their toll on your lives and strike a fatal blow. And Samson was driven down to the prison house. He couldn't see. He couldn't see, and he had to be led down to the prison house. He couldn't even find the prison house, but he was taken there. All because of a Delilah. And with great disappointment, there he was, pushing that wheel like a prisoner, chained to the wheel, grinding out the corn. He considered his lost opportunities. My, what a deep heart searching went on down there in that prison house. As he treaded out the corn of the prison house day by day, he thought of the many opportunities he had missed. His thoughts went rapidly to the time of his prayer life when he used to feel the presence of God, which now very few and far between because of other activities had taken him away. He thought upon the great meetings with God and the victories against the enemy. But now Delilah had delivered him into this pitiful condition. Samson had much to consider these foolish steps. Much time to consider these foolish steps. It's going to happen to millions on this last day. People that claim to be Christians are going to be led astray by their Delilahs. Don't let it be you. The mercy of God. Who's glad for the mercy of God? You know, brother and sister, he doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us sometimes things we don't deserve. But Samson, being a child of God, cried out to God. He couldn't see anything. His tears came out of empty sockets. He said, God, forgive me for my foolish behavior. And much more he prayed, I can tell you. A great repentance went up from that prison house. All the glory had been stripped from him. Lost all his power with God. He had been deceived. For Delilah is a very deceptive spirit. And Samson cried, precious Lord, please, Lord, give me another opportunity. That's all we want. Who wants another opportunity? But God will come to you. His anointing will come to you once more. That's what we need, brothers. The anointing of God to come to us. He said, just once more, Lord. Just once more will you give me another opportunity. God is always merciful to an honest cry for forgiveness. But it's got to be honest. It's not just words. There's got to be an honest cry from your heart. Lord, I've gone too far on my own. I want to get back to you. Will you give me another opportunity? And Samson asked, he said, let me avenge the enemy for my eyes. You can read this in Judges. It's exactly what happened. And Samson fell in total surrender to God. Even if I die, Lord, with them, will you give me an opportunity? God graciously heard his cry and restored his power upon Samson. When he was in the arena, because the Philistines had come to mock him and said, oh, Samson, your God is powerless. Praise be to the God of Dakon. God heard. You don't mock the Lord without him doing something about it. And so we see he was in the arena led by a little boy. See, they made a mockery of him. They put a rope around his neck and a little boy just led him around. This great Samson that lifted the gates of Gaza was now held by a rope and a boy. They're mocking him and playing sport with him, the Bible says. And God gave him power. He stood against the pillars of this big Colosseum, which contained 3,000 people. And God enabled him to pull the whole Colosseum down. 3,000 people were killed, including Samson, who had asked God for this. I want to die with the Philistines. My ministry's finished, Lord. I want to end in victory. And it was a great victory for Samson and a great victory for God. And he killed more of the Philistines in that one occasion than he had in the entire ministry of his life. The Bible says that. We know Samson was not lost, but what a great price he paid. You see, brother and sister, Delilah looked really harmless. Maybe she was a pretty woman. Maybe. friendly, stroked him, but put him to sleep. And that's our danger. Getting into your comfort zone, getting into things you like doing, it just takes your life over. You've got to do, I've got to do this, I want to do this. Don't come near me, I want to do this. God says, go ahead. And while you're doing it, you know not that the Lord has departed from you. May we never be caught up into the trap of our Delilah's pushy ways. Very pushy. These are spirits. May the Holy Spirit reveal to us any secret Delilahs lurking in our lives. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you've sort of got in the habit of doing it. That's a Delilah. Remember, she seems harmless and very charming, but a certain death to let her have her way. Brother and sister, we've got to resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Don't get pushed around. Just resist him, and he shall flee from you. Samson could have changed everything way back. He could have said to Delilah, very nice, Delilah, but on your way, you're nothing but a menace to me. I can see you trying to use me. And she was. But he didn't. He let it go. And she was charmed by maybe her beauty or her niceness and her strokes until she fell asleep on a lap. When he went to sleep, he lost all his power. And brother and sister, when the devil lulls you to sleep, you lose power with God. You wonder why you can't get through to God. You have trouble praying. It's because you've allowed these things to creep in, these Delilahs. Let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Give us a single eye for him and his word alone. Maybe once more, he'll give us another opportunity to come to. Do you believe that? If you be sincere with the Lord, and you know, brothers and sisters, not for me to tell you, you know if the Delilahs have had an influence on you. But God will help you if you sincerely cry out to him once more, Lord. Once more, give us another opportunity. He'll come back and he will help you. Well, we can do nothing without him. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So may God help us all. And don't be deceived anymore from today. The things in your home that shouldn't be there. The things that are happening you shouldn't be doing. You know what they are. You and God do. They are Delilahs. And they'll pop your eyes out, blind you to the truth. Here's an interesting scripture. The Bible says, because they had not a love for the truth, they weren't passionate about the gospel. They weren't passionate about the word of God. Because they had not a love for the truth, God turned them over to a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. That is the judgment when we're not sincere with God. When we allow these things to come in and we accommodate them. Don't play with anything that's not right. Just stay with what God said. Jesus, you know, he came to the devil, he said, it is written, this is what God said. And Satan departed from him. Because they were cursed, people say, oh, that was the devil. No, it's actually God that deceived them. And they actually believed wrong things. Because back here, they didn't have a love for the gospel. They didn't have a love for the word of God. They compromised. And those things that you never used to do, you're happy to do now. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, you know these things are true, the Delilahs. They're everywhere, Lord. They're out to capture us. They make out they have an interest in us, but actually they're deceivers. They're not of God, they're of the enemy. Lord, would you open our eyes that we may see? Anoint us, Lord, with thyself, that we may understand the subtlety of the enemy. All come so religiously. All can quote the word, could quote the message, all those things. But Lord, there's something wrong. They're out to put our eyes out. These Delilahs, which are devils. Lord, I just pray that you'll move in our hearts this morning. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, have your way, Lord. Give us another opportunity. Just once more, Lord. Just once more, let us have the privilege. Just being in thy presence, Lord. Knowing the sweetness of God in our life. Separating from the world and the things of the world. The Bible says if we're friends of the world, we're enemy of God. Lord, move upon our hearts. Don't let us go to Samson's end. We know you saved him in the end, Lord, but what a trial. What a disappointment. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. If anybody like prayer, feel free to come as we sing this song. I'm not going to ask again. If God's dealing with your Delilahs, he'll point them out. Only you know. God will show you. Have thine own way.
Jesus, we do need to keep our eyes on you. You need to be in our vision at all times. We're so weak, so easy to be fooled by wrong spirits, but it's the Holy Spirit we want to follow. And we know, Lord, that you're watching over us, that you're walking with us, and you will see us through if we are sincere to you and not being fooled by the devil. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the word today. We know it's the truth. Lord, just be with us this afternoon's meeting at 1 p.m., Lord. May it be a blessing to us. Bless the food that's been provided, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless the people that watched and were listening to this service at their time of listening. Just be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.